Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We had Brian Sullivan coming up at 8:50 and Brian Foley right now joining us here in the morning show with Ray and Brian, retired deputy chief in Hartford Police. Brian, how are you this morning?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, guys, welcome back. Welcome back to Connecticut, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. All right, let's talk about credible threats and how do you approach a day like today? You know, Ray and I have been talking so much on and off the air about how concerned should people in Connecticut be of something like this on a day like today.
So let me reel it back to when last week, almost 2 weeks now, when the events at the in D.C. at the Capitol jumped off there, and we started to get notifications from our intelligence CTIC, and one of our troopers stationed down in New York City with the FBI started to nudge us that we should be paying attention to what's going on in D.C. as it was just jumping off. And so being with Commissioner Rivella and Colonel Malikas from the State Police, we watched, checked out our briefings from intelligence, but we, just like everybody else, we turned on the TV to get a live look at what's going on down there. And it's interesting. And Commissioner Rivella, I've known him more than 25 years, worked directly for him for 10. I have no idea where his political beliefs lie. He watches something like that with all of us around. He never discusses politics. He jumps right into, okay, let's talk about Connecticut. How do we protect our people in Connecticut and our infrastructure and our property in Connecticut? It's a great way to center everybody to stay concentrated. And so that's what we jumped on. We reached out to a lot of our political leaders that may be scared. Some contacted us. And then we just started planning for infrastructure. You'd heard about the capitals, different state buildings, different federal buildings around the state, reached out to all the police departments. Through our CTIC folks who do an amazing job with processing and distributing intelligence to the PDs around the state, and told everyone just to be aware. And then, the FBI comes out with that warning that, there's been a call to show up at the Capitol with firearms and emotionally. And so we had a plan for that event, and we did a lot of things. And we talked about messaging. We talked about what we wanted to do. We had a meeting on this past Friday, Colonel Malikas of the State Police, with state police leaders from across the United States. And what we're doing is exactly parallel to what most states across the nation are doing, some more, some less.
The reason
go ahead, guys.
Well, Brian, I just want to ask you, if the Cap Ave exit was closed at least Sunday when I went by, is that still on that to prevent like a rider truck or something from blowing up?
There are different traffic strategies at any event that you employ to stop that sort of thing. And look, about 10 years ago, we started to see vehicles driving into crowds, didn't we?
Yes.
So, there are some things we did. That was just to really slow any sort of event from escalating too much downtown. And it was closed for a period of time, and we reassessed in the early afternoon and just afternoon and open things back up. So it was just a precautionary measure.
So there's no sense of any credible threat here in Connecticut and Hartford?
As of today, there is none. And the difference between today and Sunday is we had, social media. We had different things to say show up on Sunday. We're not seeing that. But that being said, I got to tell you, when the social media companies started to censor, all the talk about Sunday and all the talk about inauguration and the rallies,
made it harder.
Our intel people lost a little arm of their research, and that Parler. I talked to one analyst that said, when Parler went down, they were calling a lot of information off of there, and so that shuts down, and we have to go to our intelligence people have to go to different avenues, and they have said different avenues. But also when we lost that intelligence, we kind of had to prepare. We'd rather be talking about over preparing at the end of the week than under preparing for sure. And the money spent on prevention is much better than money spent after the fact.
Well, you know, the ones that we were talking about this earlier, but you think, for example, I think it was Wisconsin, I think it was Minneapolis, Minnesota, I think it was Michigan, Lansing. These things were like 5-6 people. So do you think cutting off the social media was part of it?
I don't want to, I hesitate to speculate, but
I know.
Tell you what, talking to those other states, there was a greater level of concern in, without naming the states, you can probably figure it out. There was a greater level of concern to the point where they felt like they were under siege, in how they were preparing, for Sunday. And so, you know, there was a lot of planning around communications and messaging, and we wanted to dissuade a mass violent event. We wanted to dissuade bad actors from even coming. With any protest, you know, you worry. You know, and any police commander is going to say, we support the right to protest. I can tell you, in the back of the mind, they worry about something happening. Just like you said, a vehicle driving through, you worry and you try to prepare for those things. And so we just wanted to plan to keep it as safe for anybody as possible. And again, we had information about emotional people showing up with firearms. We're not seeing that today.
Okay.
You know, we're going to watch. I mean, look at... Our position is if something jumps off somewhere else in the country, it could trigger something.
Yeah.
I tell you, Connecticut's a pretty good state. You know, there's some really emotional people, but a lot of people, you know, really tend to keep things in control. We had this guy, Reverend Brown in Hartford, when they used to march down the street. If someone got out of line, no matter what the cause, he'd bring them back. And, you know, and so Connecticut has a lot of people that and a lot of groups. And you saw what CCDL said, and we talked to the ACLU, the ADL, and they keep things pretty good here in Connecticut.
You know, real quick before we let you go, Brian, you know, I'm really troubled and fascinated by the community relationship with police.
Yep.
And I'm just curious, just in sort of conclusion, like it seems that people either are perceived as for or against law enforcement. And the truth is it's not like that at all. I mean, what do you think that people can do to sort of be better about how they interact with law enforcement? And what can law enforcement do to sort of ease the tension a little bit?
You know, that's something that we specialized in the city of Hartford, and we had such a great relationship with the community and the city itself. And on the police end, look, at you just got to keep your transparency up, keep trying to do the best, and understand that you are a tool for the city to stay safe, and that the community should have some say on how they are protected. When you think you know better than community, and you should have complete say on how their town or their city is policed, that's not right, and it's only going to build animosity between the two. So when you open your doors and you bring people in and you communicate, and, you know, Brian, just care is what I always think. Find cops that just care. There's cops that go to work and do a great job, but they really don't care sometimes. And that's fine. There's a place for them. But, you know, the ones you want to lead, the ones you want to be out there, the ones you want to be seen and have the communications, they have to care within their heart for the people they're protecting. You know, in working in the city of Hartford, standing on the corner after a homicide, I've cried with people on the corner. You know, it's tough. And if you don't have that care level, the community will sense it. So you got to have that care level out there. And at the same time, you want community members to care. And don't get too worked up on social media. Jeez, I mean, just believe what you see out there. Believe what you see here in Connecticut. Something happens in Minnesota or Ohio, believe what you see here in Connecticut and go with that. Because we have some great police leaders and some great police chiefs, starting with the commissioner and the colonel here, that are just fantastic and really have paved the way for a peaceful state here.
Brian Foley, thanks for being on. It's great to touch base with you again. It's been a while. Take care, buddy.
See ya.
All right, there you go, 829.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.